Roll call, please.
Supervisor Gentz?
Here.
Supervisor Drankey?
Here.
Supervisor Esposito?
Here.
Supervisor Elbeck?
Yes.
Supervisor Rose?
Here.
Supervisor Holman?
Finally.
Supervisor Brunig?
Here.
Mr. Bell?
Here.
Ms. Black?
Here.
Okay, thank you. At this time, we'll open it up to citizens' comments. Anybody wishing to speak? Anybody wishing to speak? Anybody wishing to speak? Seeing none, citizens' comments are closed. Chair, supervisor, and youth and governance comments. Anybody have any comments? I don't have any. Communications, I have none. Approval of the June 11th, 2013
second.
Minutes.
Second.
It's been moved by Supervisor Brunig, seconded by Vice Chair Kubicki. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Youth and governance?
Aye.
Okay. Minutes are approved. Update and discussion, RE Brookside Care Center. I asked Fran to come in tonight to just give us a little overview, maybe talk about some of the things out there. I know she reports to Human Services and Finance, but I wanted to talk about, you know, therapy and the bed numbers, et cetera, and just talk about it on an executive level. So I just told her just a few minutes. So, Fran, what do you got for us?
Well, I brought a couple handouts, and I hope I have enough. It's just a little charts of our activity.
Brookside Care Center is our county nursing home.
Did you guys go on a tour?
I went.
Okay, so you had lunch.
So that's really what it is.
I have one left.
Sure, thank you.
So I'm going to share this with you so I can't go away. That's okay. The top one is it's just showing these three boxes, which is annual revenue, annual Medicare census, and annual admissions. It's just showing that the revenue going up is totally commensurate with the admissions going up and the Medicare census going up. And that just illustrates that. And the second page just shows the annual revenue again. And then it shows, the second box shows our annual census by payer source. And the blue is the average Medicaid census. So you can see that we are still serving the Medicaid population. You know, that's our largest population. But the Medicare or the private pay census is constantly dwindling. It's about, we're at budget right now, but there's just not a lot of private pay out there. And then the
before you move, can I
sure,
question
sure.
before you move on?
Sure.
What do you attribute the decline in the private pay?
Partially, it's because we have more Medicare, and I think the people run out of money. You know, they come in and to the nursing home and they might be 3 or 4 months at the most private pay. And then there's a lot of trusts and things that they do to shield their assets. The community members have done that. And so the numbers have dwindled.
And that look back period, is that 5 years?
Yes.
And so these people start out as private pay and then are converted to the Medicaid.
Okay. And then the last line is the Medicare census, the average Medicare census. And that's been steadily going up on purpose. And then the final sheet is just going through some statistics month by month of what our Medicare census was and our revenues and Medicaid and revenues and private pay and revenues. So you can see the difference between what we receive for a Medicare client as opposed to a Medicaid and private pay. And then the also gives you a look of where we were at with our average daily census for those payer sources since 2004. And then it's charted on the bottom.
Just going back to the same point, Mr. Chairman, I see, you know, like in 2004, you had 50 private pay average. Today is 28.5. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder what you think it's maybe something ought to be looked at there. Is this correlation between more people drafting up trusts to avoid? Is this some, you know, I don't see where somebody ought to be putting assets in a trust or in somebody else's name so the public can pay the bill. That's not truly a poor person. And that isn't what the object of Brookside was originally. It was for people who were actually didn't have assets, not that they had them and through legal finagling or gifts gave it to somebody else, their kids, or put it in trust. This is something that needs to be looked at, because you can see we're declining. Because if we didn't have the Medicare, we'd be in serious trouble here.
Private pay actually is just a break-even venture.
Well, yeah, but at the rate it's declining, it won't be.
No, I mean, we adjust the rates so we break even.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And, yeah.
Well, that is
in
my...
We did work with the legislature, our association, and the governor's budget had some significant changes in the, estate recovery and things like that for and divestment.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe that five-year look back has got to be 10 years.
It was, a lot of it has been...
It was 3 years.
...changed.
Yeah.
And then right at the last minute, somebody put an amendment or something in the budget saying you have to get finance permission before you do anything. So it's all up standstill. But I do see a lot of people that I know from... Everybody knows that in the community have significant assets and businesses, and they're on Title 19.
That's not right.
But there's nothing we can do about it.
No, I understand that. Legislation needs to be addressed problems like that, and because these are not truly the poor people that the Brookside was aimed at. These are people just letting you pay the bill, and they gave the assets to somebody else. At today's prices, it's not right.
Thank you, Mr. Yenson. What I think Brookside administration has done to alleviate that burden on the county taxpayer is with the rehab, increasing those numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Having that coming in to circumvent these numbers going this way while our rehab's going that way, staying ahead of that curve. And I understand your thoughts and comments on what can be actually done.
Well, I think the legislation has got to address the problem. What we can do, I don't think there's much we
there
can
you have it, so.
That I can think of, but I haven't studied it. But I think it's a legislative problem.
Yeah, I think it's really tied to the Medicare that we've made a push to get. I mean, we asked Fran to run Brookside more like a business. That doesn't mean we want to not help people who aren't as wealthy, and that doesn't mean we want to, push people out. But at the same, in the same token, if we're going to get involved in golf courses and nursing homes, to some level, we have to try to run it like a business. I mean, we are obligated to the taxpayers to try to do that. So I think that's where Brookside is gone. And I'll let Supervisor Holman ask a question, and then I want to know how our coordinator's doing with the hospitals, and that's something that doesn't usually get reported. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk to you about that. So, Supervisor Holman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To the Chair, to the Director of Brookside. You mentioned that there was something as part of the governor's budget that was supposed to be passed that got bumped out at the last minute. Mm-hmm. You think you could send us a copy of that?
Sure.
That would be awesome. That way we can take a look at it.
And as far as Supervisor Bruning and Hallman are concerned, they would want that over the electronic ways.
If you have it, please.
I'm just making a joke here.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to fire him up a little bit.
Yeah.
But anyway, getting back to my question, is that coordinate administrate, what is the position called?
Admission coordinator?
Yes, yes. Yeah. Why don't you touch on that for us for a minute?
Well, the admission coordinator is, we actually have another body in that position too now because it's so busy and she was working 78 hours a week because, you know, the hospital says, oh, we're going to send this admission at 10 in the morning, and then they show up at last Friday it was 8:30 at night. And so we have someone else who can also work on weekends because we get a lot of admissions on weekends. And it's just been, I mean, an absolute necessary position, I mean, without a doubt, because you have to work at getting these insurance approvals and being able to be at the phone when someone calls and says, I want to send you so-and-so. So you have to be, you know, there all the time, and it's just been absolutely necessary, and we couldn't have done this without that position.
The last thing I want to talk about is, you know, this comes to light for me because I was in church on Sunday and my pastor said a prayer during the prayer part about somebody who's at rehab at Brookside. So I thought maybe that was a little divine intervention to me. But anyway, how is our rehab going? I mean, how many people are we servicing? Where are you doing this? I know I went to the WCA last year, and I attended a seminar that you talked at that talked about rehab and where it was going, and I'd just like you to talk about that for a minute.
Well, we have so many people in rehab. I mean, if we have sometimes 38 or 40 patients getting rehabilitation, they're often getting physical therapy twice a day, occupational therapy twice a day, maybe speech therapy. And then we also have Medicare, which is maybe a Medicaid patient who requires some therapy. They can get in under Medicare B. So we're overflowing, and there's not enough room. And I mean, the only thing we could do is make people do therapy in the middle of the night, you know, to really alleviate the overcrowding. And I don't think that would go over very well. But the Southport room, which is adjacent to the dining room, is now been taken over by therapy. I mean, there's just no room. So one of the desires that we have is that we were looking at, and the executive did fund a study with some architects to see what we could do to alleviate this. And we're actually just wrapping it up right now to see what is a possibility to, you know, take care of it in the future. So, but the residents, you know, they complain a little bit, but they love therapy. I mean, they absolutely love our therapy department. When I started at Brookside, we had one physical therapist, and now we're so busy, and they're really hard to get, you know. They're hard to recruit. It's a difficult profession to
extremely find. Hard.
Yeah. And we have three of them now, full time. So that just takes an, you know, shows you an example. So, but one, you know, one thing we are doing is we're trying to make the rehab experience more rehab-ish as opposed to nursing home-ish, you know. So we tried to locate all the rehab people in one area. And our dietary department, with, you know, like the pennies in the bottom of the pockets, put together a cafe in one of our lounges, and it's extremely popular. The visitors come, you know, who are visiting, and they have lunch with their family members. We have soups and sandwiches, and that's kind of a thing that's something that people are looking for when they come into the nursing home. Some of our rehab patients actually pay for lunch rather than eat what we have because they feel, I think, a little bit more normal, if that's a good word to use, you know. And we tell them, you know, we have yogurt. You don't have to buy this. Oh, no, no, I'll buy it. And just like I said, we really and truly, I mean, we bought a couple soup kettles, but it was basically, you know, putting some tablecloths on some tables, and we do have a few dollars now that we're going to try and actually make it more like a cafe, and we're going to put it on second shift, too, because we get a lot of traffic on second, and we're going to make probably $26,000 just in that little venture, and probably next year we'll probably double it. And it's a very nice service, you know, for the people.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Fran, I have to admit that I was one of the skeptics when you first came up with the admissions coordinator, and I did not think that that position was going to help Brookside at all. But I am very happy to see that that Brookside has actually turned around and that we're not losing money on it anymore. So very happy with that. Thank you. You've done a good job over there.
No problem. It's what I do and it's what I love, so.
Oh, you're doing a good job at it. I just wanted to make this committee aware of my feelings regarding the physical therapy. I think it's something that, again, as we move into to looking at it as a semi-business, we need to be mindful of that. I mean, we can't have them doing the therapy in lunchrooms and stuff. So, and I think that there is a need for it in the community. It's just to me, it's something that in the next couple of years, I think we're going to need to address.
Our county partners are, you know, the other county homes that are in business. They're also, you know, doing a lot of building plans and not just expanding their buildings and putting up new ones because they're old and crumbling. They're also targeting the Medicare client with therapies and I always want to say Walworth, but it's Rockham. Just put up a brand new building. It was $30 million, and it is absolutely enormous. I think there's 120 patients, and their therapy is just huge, with a actually waiting lounge for people, you know, to go into therapy. It's just absolutely amazing. If you ever get out that way, you take a look at it. It's quite the building. And other county homes are, you know, getting into other aspects of the long-term care business, like, you know, CVRFs and assisted living and things like that. So all of these ideas are being studied right now and costing it out to see where we would be, you know, because we are a very popular nursing home, and sometimes we're discharging people from rehab into an assisted living. And, you know, sometimes we have a husband and a wife that are, one's in the nursing home and one really would like to be in assisted living but doesn't want to be far away. So we're going to take a look at all of that to see where we can be in the future. And it would help our census, too.
Sure.
You know, the more we can keep our patients, I mean, keep this revenue stream coming, then the more we'll still be able to take care of the indigent clients. And we've pretty much been around the same census for the last 10 years.
Supervisor Dodge.
Yeah, Fran, you were at a seminar, I was there also a few months ago, dealing with Chapter 51 and combative dementia patients. Currently, I think they have to go out of town to Mendota or something. Now, I believe it's probably not a money maker for Kenosha County to have the people at Brookside, but it's an advantage for the citizens to be able to have their mothers or fathers, you know, close by. So what are our plans? Do we have any plans to deal with that? Because I know it's a growing problem.
Yes. I have had several meetings with the folks at Human Services and talking about this because there was a Supreme Court decision that came down that dictates that an individual with dementia only, if it's only a dementia diagnosis, that if they have a terrible behavior disruption, I mean, I know personally of a case where a guy got paranoid and slit his wife's throat, okay? So it can really, really happen. And we used to do a 51 commitment on them, and they would go to Mendota or wherever for $1,200, something like that a day. And that Supreme Court decision has rendered that you cannot do that. You cannot send 50 a dementia patient, and you can't do a 51 commitment. There has to be a Chapter 55. And then the county has to decide that, you know, and dictate and name a place of where they're going to do and put these people. The Division of Health is at the state level is supposed to be coming down with some kind of, like Kitty Rhodes, the secretary, is supposed to be coming out with some kind of guidance for the counties and what kind of places should be. Because you're right, Supervisor Dodge, there's probably not a lot of money in that. But one of the things that I'm looking at in these plans with, you know, the possible things that we might be doing at Brookside is including a memory care CBRF. And it's important that I make the distinction to CBRF, which is community-based residential facility, to skilled nursing, because in a nursing home, our rules are so prohibitive, we couldn't have a person who was acting out and, you know, violent in the nursing home itself, because it would be violating other people's rights. So we're looking at doing a memory care area CBRF where we could house, you know, it, on a temporary basis. They're not supposed to be more than 90 days, but that kind of client.
Supervisor Kubicki.
Yeah, one last question I have is how many county-run facilities are there in the state of Wisconsin currently?
36. Well, 36 counties, but there's some have more than one home.
Thank you.
My experience with the violent person that you describe is that district attorneys prosecute those people criminally. They're dealt with in the criminal justice system, and are, unless they can establish that they're not guilty by reason of mental disease or defect and unable to conform their conduct to the requirements of law or don't know right from wrong, they're going to be incarcerated either in a mental institution if they prove that they are insane under the definition, or they're going to be either probation, jail, or prison. That I don't see anybody solely handled on a truly violent incident, strictly under a Chapter 51 or 55. They're prosecuted now. There might be a Chapter 51 or 55 in addition, but I don't see that. I don't understand this isn't on the table, but I think it's a mistake for the county to get into areas which such, if this Alzheimer's disease or memory unit is going to be a losing proposition, I think that becomes a wide-open checkbook that at least I would not support into that expansion. We'll have a difficult, I think we'll regret it in the future. If we get into something that we know right off the bat is a losing proposition.
Supervisor Rolls, the memory care CBRF part is actually not supposed to be a losing. It's supposed to, a lot of the counties who have added CBRFs to their line of service, they're actually supporting their nursing home. The memory care, the part that would be maybe the crisis beds where the counties are obligated under law now to provide a place for these crisis individuals, probably would be maybe one patient, you know, at a time, and not always.
Okay, well, thank you for coming in and giving us this update. I hope the committee members found it helpful, and keep up the good work. Thank you. Hope you'd like to take the hot seat now.
Mm-hmm.
probably not gonna. Resolution on the sale of alcohol in county golf courses.
I'll move the resolution, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
The resolution has been moved by Supervisor Alderman, seconded by Supervisor Bruning. We'll open it up to any questions.
I'll speak on it since I moved it.
You certainly can.
This is something that actually I've been involved in for years or trying to move along. The history of the golf courses would be spoken somewhat in the resolution here. And the recent history economically of the golf courses, the last 10 years have been of a losing nature. But what we did possibly 8 years ago, maybe it's a little bit longer, I was chairman and it was a hard fight. It was debated and it was defeated, and then we finally got it through. It was just to finally start selling beer on the golf courses. That year we made $75,000, I remember exactly, initial revenue. That was a big jump. So we could sell beer. The reason you can't sell alcoholic beverage, the attorneys will explain it better, but the main reason is we issue Class A liquor licenses, and we can't issue one to ourselves. So in the resolution where it talks about a private entity coming in and leasing, that's what we would be doing. So we would be having a food service, basically, come in. Now, when we talked about this on my committee's level a couple years ago, we wanted to see if someone in the town of Brighton, since that's where the golf course is located, would be interested in that. Well, there's one liquor license in the town of Brighton. It's Jetty's Bar. What we'd be doing with this would naturally, we'd be opening it up to much larger businesses. No one would be interested in doing this unless they were adept at this. You know, you'd be putting up a chunk of money, you'd be running probably two golf courses, and it's something, as the resolution states, as Mr. Bash wrote, is a very good situation for Kenosha County. That's why I have encouraged this. It hasn't gone anywhere. And coming from this committee, I think it'll go somewhere. We will be bucking some trends. And there was reason this didn't go anywhere for a long period of time. There's strong pressure from the private sector that we don't do this. And the county executive has felt that. That's why it's been a little push and shove.
What part of the private sector supports
you? People that operate, that do weddings, that do operate golf courses, that do banquets and things.
So just as a point of clarification, the people who object to this are the ones who are reaping the benefits that we don't get.
That we'd be competing against.
Yeah.
There's many people that think, and I've been one of them for years, that government shouldn't compete with the private sector. Since we have these golf courses, I've had to adapt that and think that we need to make a profit if we're going to be in this business. But the pressure is from the private sector, people that we're competing against. And that is the reason this hasn't gone forward. That's the reason that when it was brought up at this committee, I suggested it come from this committee, because it went nowhere through the highway and parks and golf committee, because it was stopped there. Coming from this committee, it can possibly get a better review and see where the critics come from. I think I explained where I'm coming from and why I moved it. So, thank you.
My question would be, I read this, every word of it, but what's next? Okay, we passed this resolution, and what happens? Mm-hmm. I don't think that's stated in here.
Yeah. No, this would be a statement of policy. This would be a statement indicating that the board would be going on record as agreeing with this in principle. I think the next step then would be to try and find a tenant, if you will, or a leasee who would be interested in doing, as Supervisor Elderman indicated, most likely the food service at one or both of the golf courses that would be capable of applying for and receiving a liquor license from the municipality so that they could then handle the liquor sales.
Okay, but my question would be, let's say we pass this. I mean, do we need to do anything else to move to the next? Let's say we approve this on a board level. Do we need to do anything else to go out to RFP? Or is, and by us setting this policy, is this saying, go and do it? Or do we have to state it in here?
It would be my belief that we probably still would have to go through the RFP process. Also, because the board controls budget, if there would be any budgetary impact, as there most likely would be, ideally money coming in, you know, revenues having to be accepted, that would have to be voted on by the board.
Right. So I guess my concern is we approve this, and in theory we think this is a good idea, but if nobody takes the initiative and does the RFP, we're in the same boat as sitting here doing nothing.
So I'm clear. When you say nobody takes initiative, you mean nobody in administration goes forward with it?
Yeah. Or anybody. I mean, we need administration to send out the RFP, unless the county board's going to do it. So, I mean, at some point, we need to make this move forward. Supervisor Bruning?
I guess what he's asking is, how do we direct the administration to move forward with the RFP? Because that's not actually spelled out in this.
Well, certainly, this committee has the resolution before it. This committee certainly has the ability to make any changes or amendments it wishes to the resolution. If the committee thinks that it needs to spell out the next step, certainly that can be discussed here or on the board.
Supervisor, oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Okay.
That was my thought when I was reading this. That this. I'm just going to ask, is this a directive to the executive, or is this a kind of a suggestion in the form of policy, as you said? And it sounds more like policy statement, suggestion, and it could go nowhere. I think we need to have a clause that would suggest something along this line, that be further resolved that the Kenosha County Board of Supervisors authorizes and directs the county executive to carry out the intent of this resolution with the implementation of it for the 2014 golf season.
Is that a motion?
Yes.
Second.
Okay. It's been moved by Supervisor Rose to amend this resolution. Seconded by Supervisor Esposito.
I suggested 14 because I was relying upon your judgment that it was not possible this year or this season. So,
but we need that clause there.
Yeah,
right.
That's right.
That's why I wasn't going to do anything until we get the clause there, because this says it's all, we're all warm and fuzzy, but it doesn't take us to the where we need to be. So, can you get that language off the tape, or do you want us to?
I'll re-listen to it on the tape, but I think I've got it.
Okay, excellent. Yes, sir.
So if that statement is put in the resolution, will that automatically make the RFP or whatever?
It's request for proposal.
Yeah.
It's more or less sending it out to bid so that we find out who's interested in doing that.
So if that's added in here, will that automatically happen then?
Well, it'll be directing them to do it, mm-hmm. So it should happen.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Ed, Supervisor?
All the liability, therefore, then, is going on to whichever vendor we choose, correct? The county isn't held liable for anything as far as the alcohol portion.
As you know, I'm hesitant to answer questions without looking them up, but my recollection from the last time that I looked at this is that yes, if we were to lease out, I think I actually looked at it last year when the question of an RFP came up, 2 years ago, whatever it was. My recollection is that yes, it would be the responsibility of the vendor. Any liability would fall on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Esposito.
So this is basically going into somewhat of a landlord-tenant type of agreement?
Correct.
Same as Kemper.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. Just like Kemper.
Okay. Exactly. Like they serve alcohol. Yeah. We don't have a license.
That answers my question. Thank you.
Supervisor Underhill.
Is there going to be food involved in this? Is that being taken over by the whole thing?
Normally, if someone wanted this type of thing, they would want the food also. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay. Anybody else?
Supervisor Dodge.
Supervisor.
So we sent out an RFP before, and it didn't go anywhere. And now, from what I understand, what's being said is that we would like to get some bigger operators to handle the drinks and the bar. Who's to say who's going to receive the RFP? I mean, are we going to just do it the same way we did it last time and we got one reply?
No.
Are we going to send it out to a bigger base or what?
Yeah. I would assume that the last time they tried to get area within that area, and I would think that we would want to do it for the whole southeastern Wisconsin area. And if we, I mean, if we want to bring in other players, I mean, we gave the local a chance to come in and do that, which it's always good to do, but we found that, you know, there's nobody really with a desire to do that. And I think, you know, I don't want to compete with what's out there in the private sector either, but we are. By default, that's what we're doing. And so I think we need to take this step. So,
And I defer to Supervisor Elverman, but again, my recollection also is that the RFP was written in such a way as to essentially, with very few parameters, and essentially we're asking people to submit a business plan or a business proposal from the ground up without really giving a lot of framework as to what we were looking for. And I can't speak for anyone else. Certainly it would be my suggestion that we maybe give a little bit more concrete parameters in the RFP this time.
I would agree.
It was very prohibitive for anyone to even want to respond.
Yeah.
And that's the way it was written.
Does that, I don't know what that said, but does that need to be addressed here in some sort of language?
When we do our RFPs, we do need to look at how we've seen what happens with some of them. This was one of them. Mm-hmm. It was so prohibitive that the local guy couldn't even think of it. It was 200-some pages.
Oh, my God.
161, excuse me. Maybe I'm off by a page.
Round up.
But a local guy like Jetty's Bar, look at that and go, oh, and throw it on the table.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that's how it was written. It was written possibly intentionally that way. I don't know.
Well, do we
you,
don't want
you, uh-huh. you get professional, like the Bartolottas and those people
sure.
that are used to doing this.
Oh, yes.
They might respond, but a little local company, they weren't going to.
Well, do we need to say something then about that here?
Linda, can you read back what Supervisor Rose said?
Be it further resolved that the Kenosha County Board of Supervisors authorizes and directs the county executive to carry out the intent of this resolution with the implementation of it for the 2014 golf season.
Okay. Do we want to add to have them come back to us with the RFP to look it over? Or, I mean, you're the maker of the motion. The last thing I want to do is say, yeah, it's a good idea, and then let it die.
Right.
It's happened time and time again. Yeah. So, I mean, if you feel that we ought to put in there that they need to come back to us with the RFP, or you're going to assume that they're going to go ahead and do it and do the RFP correctly, I don't, you know.
So is that the only way that you can obtain or solicit interest is through a request for proposal?
I mean, well, if not a public works project per se, I mean, I think it would have to be treated in a similar fashion. I think the only way fairly as a government we can go about it was to go through that process.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of language would direct them to have a simple RFP? I mean, I'm not familiar with the mechanics of RFPs here in the county, except from what I've recently heard. Typically, when you are building a road, for example, and you request proposals for that, is this 160 pages long?
No.
Oh, what is it?
Well, we build most of our own roads.
Okay.
So,
but, or take whatever, public works would be the one.
The worst example I can think of mm-hmm. is this parking space.
Right. That's when the issue came.
That's where this issue came horribly, bluntly to all mm-hmm. of our attention, and it just was recently resolved.
Yeah.
And nobody on that size of a job wanted to go through the paperwork that we had. It was horrible. So when we did the RFP for the golf course, we had one way of doing it. Now, we have had some discussions on that mm-hmm. with our purchasing director, and she was here and explained how we do these things. So possibly we would want to discuss this with her mm-hmm. and see how this RFP would be put together. The last time it was put together, it was prohibitive for a small to medium-sized business to even look at.
And again, while I wasn't part of the process, my understanding was that was not done through purchasing. That Carol was not in charge of that RFP.
Okay.
So the committee is aware.
And believe me, I'm not saying somebody's not going to do something or won't do what we're asking. I just want to make sure that the steps are followed so that we're not sitting here saying, mm-hmm. this is a good idea, we think it ought to be done, and then for some reason it's not getting done. So that's my only concern. I have total confidence that she can figure out an RFP that can attract people. I mean, that's her job, and I trust her to be able to do that. But do we need to have a look at that, or do we want to, at this point, just let it go? I mean, that's...
Well, I'm just trying to think what, you know, the appropriate way to say it and direct it. You know, you don't want to have... We can't possibly sit down here amongst us as a group and start drawing up an RFP.
Think we want to.
No.
I mean, we're not.
And you don't want to have an RFP here that deals out all small businesses, because maybe those are the ones that really this would appeal to, and you're not going to get a Marriott Corporation who does... they used to do it at Carthage, and they may still do it at Carthage, but somebody of that size, because it's too small. So maybe this is one that you would get a small business here. So, I mean, is this something that, who put out the RFP before that was so lengthy?
My understanding is that it went through finance.
The finance department?
Yeah.
Oh.
But look at the trouble they had with the metro station.
Yes, we don't want that kind of deal.
Well,
yes.
good point. This is actually a small business.
Yes.
But you could get somebody when they say, okay, there's two golf courses. You could get somebody that puts together a big basket,
mm-hmm.
and we could get a large business that would bid on it.
That's okay. Yeah. So do we want to say now, therefore, further be it resolved that the Kenosha County Board of Supervisors directs the purchasing department to create an RFP simple enough so that big and small businesses may apply? Is that the kind of language that we want to... Is the word simple enough? Maybe that isn't quite the terminology we want to use, but...
Or do we want to leave it the way it is and have Carol come before us and talk to her about it?
Yeah, or is this something that you can, as chairman, and Dennis, as chairman of the committee, just take this resolution and say...
I think the chairman could do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I
think that's
But I want to make
good.
Sure that you're all on the same page. I mean, I could go do my own thing all the time, but...
If it goes through finance at the director of the administration, it could end up the way it's ended up. Mm-hmm.
We don't want that. Do we want to say something then about the simple type of RFP, or...
That would be in discussions probably with Carol.
Yeah, I can.
All right,
if
you want to do that, maybe then
we'll just leave it the way it is, and then I'll make a note to talk to her about it.
You know, when we direct the administration in this to carry out the intent of the resolution, should we therefore put a whereas clause, something along the line that whereas the Kenosha County Board of Supervisors desires to encourage small as well as medium or large businesses to submit requests for proposals and that the proposal be consistent with their ability to do so. That is kind of a legislative intent.
What about any size business?
Sure.
What did you just say? Did I hear him?
This is all tape, my friend. So,
we could get one of the local golf courses that may want to get up.
Well, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, there may be somebody that could be anybody.
Uh-huh. If I was a local golf course, I'd want to bid on it.
Just one more avenue.
Yeah, I want to carefully think about that one, but we wouldn't discourage it. But
as long as it didn't serve sliders.
Yeah. Did you copy down what I just?
No.
Do we want to say something along the lines whereas the Kenosha County Board of Supervisors authorizes and directs that a request for proposal be drafted to appeal to businesses of all size, and that it be
simple, user friendly.
Yeah, user.
I'm wondering if you think that that's a duplication. I mean, in the first one, we're telling administration to act on what we're saying. I know, I guess mm-hmm. what you're doing is saying, all right, this is part of what you're acting on? Is that, mm-hmm. okay.
One's aware of it, the other one did their form.
Thanks for pointing that out, Supervisor Burnett.
And I will second his motion.
Is it a motion to?
Yes.
Okay. It's been moved by Supervisor Rose, seconded by Supervisor Gruning to add that whereas.
Mm-hmm.
All those in favor of that?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Do you guys have any questions on what we're talking about here?
I think I got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Point
of order, did you vote on the First Amendment?
I believe we did, but let's...
No. Did we?
I thought
no, we didn't. He's right on that. There was only it was moved, seconded, and that was
Let's vote on the First Amendment that Terry made with the therefore be it resolved.
Yeah. The other was just a whereas clause. Okay. Now we're expressing.
Okay.
So on the first?
Yep, on the first one. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes unanimously. Now, on the resolution as a whole, is there any comment on it? Or okay. All those in favor of the resolution as amended?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that passes unanimously. Report on your budget.
It's good.
I move to accept the budget.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
You could have said thank you. That would have been really good. So.
Okay. Report on committee chair's update on committee activities. Supervisor Alverman.
I'll be very brief. Kemper, we've all seen discussion on the pier and things, and I know that Terry forwarded possibly an email to people on a letter that he received from the director there, and I had received a similar letter, and our committee reviewed that. What we're looking at is an object that's not used. If you read that letter, if you didn't get it from Terry, I think you did forward it to everybody.
Okay.
What we're looking at doing out there is when the bike trail is finished, what it's been used for now is just observation. You couldn't wet a line from that pier as the water sits now. And what we're looking at is doing an observation deck that's on the land, like a panty. You know, the bike path will come up, wheelchairs can get onto that, but not having something that juts out into the water with the structure that's needed for that pier. In the CIP, I think for 2015, is for the removal of that now. So the discussion and the letter from the director at Kemper is that it's not used. They would rather we utilize our monies and and all of our projects that we want to do on things that they need. And that's something that they do not think they need there. So that's a report on that fishing pier, as they call it. 60th Street Tower, we should be by the 26th, I believe, of July in agreement with the city, the federal government, everybody, and that should be something that we can get done before fall. Parking ramps open, operation. Paving, we're in our full swing on our paving operation, roughly 13 miles. And they've been hampered slightly by the weather, but they're moving along. So that's highways and facilities. This building here, that will be, I believe, I think that's like the third week in July where we'll have our proposals together for that waterproofing.
Okay. You have a question, Supervisor?
Yeah, I have one question for Supervisor Alderman. Are we going to get any kind of report on any budgetary monies that we're making on that parking structure once it gets established, like a monthly thing or a yearly thing? Or?
Oh, I'm sure we will. Yeah, I mean, we could probably do a monthly.
Yeah.
But,
I think we're all getting sick on all the money that we lost.
Yeah.
By waiting so long, I think, is what we'll end up having. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Green.
Just wanted to let everyone know that John DeMunt Mullen, his last extension education meeting will be tomorrow night. The movers come on Thursday, and he is having his last day of work on Friday. Everyone is invited out to extension education out at 45 and 50 tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. He has refused to allow them to do anything to send him on his way, so I took it upon myself to make sure that we do something.
Who is this?
John DeMunt Mullen. He's our youth and family educator. He's been here for 12 years.
Okay.
So this is a reception at 6
o'clock? Well, it's just cheeseburgers without pickles and chocolate chip cookies, his favorite food. So.
I see.
Well,
and you took it upon yourself to do that without his leave?
Yep.
Okay. Supervisor Underhill.
Get back to the Kemper thing. Are they going to take, let me get this straight, they're going to take that out and do nothing, or are they going to take that out and put something on the land?
There's nothing on the land.
Are they going to put something on the land?
The plan would be to do a little patio on the land.
Okay. Okay, that's all I got.
Since that's all apparently it's used for.
Yeah, that's fine. I think it's a great view, but like you said, the structure, you can't run on it.
No, we can't afford to replace it.
Bam.
Okay. It's going to cost enough to take it down.
Yeah, great.
Supervisor Rose.
Thursday at the Finance Committee, the new downtown Kenosha director was present. And if you are interested in that issue or you have some suggestions, this would be a good time to attend and express your views.
It's a long way down here.
Supervisor Esposito.
Tomorrow at Judiciary and Law Committee, we will have a moment of silence for passing of former Sheriff Larry Zarletti. So I just wanted to let you know that. Thank you.
Anybody else? I'll make a comment. Through your committee, we all received an anonymous letter regarding vehicles in the Sheriff's Department, and I've met with the chairman of the committee and the sheriff and individuals, and I think based on what we've come up with as far as our plan as a board, our policy and procedures are not being violated with what's going on there. So I just wanted to bring it up to everybody's attention here. I know Supervisor Esposito is going to bring it up at his committee. Supervisor Molinaro is going to bring it up at your committee, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
So, according, I talked to finance today, and according to IRS regulations, that's exactly what needs to happen. They're exempt from the county policy, and they need to be on call 24/7. So that's... I was satisfied with the answer. We'll see how it plays out from there, but I just wanted to bring it to your attention. Any other comments? Seeing none?
I'll move to adjourn.
Second. Moved and seconded to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you.
pardon me?
I said very nice.
Yes, that was good.
Did you stop and get a cookie in the way?
I've